Welcome to your Talking Auckland Weekend Analysis. In these podcasts, I will take a more of an in-depth look at a hot topic issue that's going around Auckland at the moment, and delve further into them as you drink your hot beverage and enjoy whatever food you enjoy on your Saturday mornings out about in the city. In this weekend analysis, I look at the City Rail Link after it got through the Budget Committee earlier this week on a 16-7 vote to continue on the 2016 timeline despite no government funding. A very interesting dialogue piece in the Herald yesterday by Suds from Generation Zero, stating the rail link is a key to a unified city. And going back over one of my older posts to follow up the the City Rail Link post that I did earlier this week, going back to a post I did in August on the City Rail Link operations MK2, which came about after Auckland Transport dropped the Newton Station, causing a bit of a change in how the City Rail Link would work. Just going briefly back on my selling the City Rail Link post, in that podcast I point out how it benefits Papakura, Henderson, even Howick, Botany, in the North Shore, which are currently not served by the heavy rail system in Auckland. I also pointed out what most people aren't pointing out at the moment, that is the capacity increases that we get from the City Rail Link on the rail network and how that benefits Auckland. And in this weekend analysis post, I'm going to draw out that some more using some timetable operation data and some alternative running arrangements that I drew up to Auckland Transport's City Rail Link version in August. So just briefly touching the piece that Suds did in the Herald yesterday, he's going on about how the councillors voted in favour to continue the City Rail Link on a 16-7 vote split. He's also gone down the path, which I picked up in a piece of feedback I'll get back in the get to in a minute, going on how it will reduce traffic congestion, revitalise town centres and unlock Auckland's potential. And he goes in about a bit of the dynamics of the City Rail Link, on how long it is, the stations, and how it will serve the motorists as well as the rail commuters, and how it also benefits the suburbs just as well as the city centre. And there's some historic facts, some international comparisons, before he continues to go on about using development contributions and debt as the city, how the city is planning to fund it at the moment, which is in part where the funding gap is coming from. Then, of course, a bit of an attack on the government, just as I had a go at Jamie Lee Ross and George Wood the day before in my podcast, and how he goes on saying the city Rail Link needs to be done down for the council to show leadership and not delay its completion. So it's all very well going on how it benefits, reduce congestion on the roads, as I pointed out in my previous podcast, and how it does the wonderful airy fairy stuff of kick-starting urban regeneration. From the feedback that I got, that aspect means doubly squat to most Aucklanders. Sorry, Suds, but it really does. The information they're looking for is the frequency and the capacity increases from it. And from my old post that I did in August, I'm going to go through the capacity increases that we get, both through what Auckland Transport proposes and what I proposed. Now, we're going to use some base model assumptions that are universal all the way through, using the electric fleet, both in free car and six car consists, as well as trains per hour and how many passengers they can move. I've got the base chart there attached to this blog post for your reading. I also have attached the alternative scheme that I drew up, as well as the frequency and the capacity for every station in Auckland, including future stations such as Drury, Pyrite and the Mount Roskill Spur, as well as even the airport line. It also assumes that the Manukau South Link would be built as well within the next few years. So let's have a quick look at some of the base model stuff here for frequency and capacity. Your standard EMU three-car set, so a single consist, will move at comfortable limits 375 passengers. a double EMU consist, or what's commonly known as a six-car set, will move 750 passengers comfortably. The maximum that we can carry comfortably at the moment with the DFT six-car, diesel six-car sets is 625. So you've got a 625 to 650, so you've already got an increase of over 100 passengers already per train. So on that, we start looking at your trains per hour. Four trains per hour, so it's a 15-minute wait between trains, which is what we're looking at for the off-peak. Three-car set will move 1,500 passengers, double for the six-car. Six trains per hour, which goes to 10 minutes, which is what we're looking at for peak services, especially for the Western, Onehunga, and potentially the Manukau line. You're moving 2,250 passengers on the three-car set, 4,500 on the six-car set. But for the Eastern and Southern line with the peaks, they usually their frequencies usually increase because of the split that we have getting to Britomart. So you can easily pick up frequencies of every 6 minutes or 10 trains per hour as they do the 5-5 split, which means you can move potentially 3,750 passengers an hour for a three-car set or 7,500 for your six-car sets. So what we're potentially looking at with the rejigging of the operation plan, including bringing in what are called so-called short runners, the Otahuhu shuttle seems to be returning, as well as the Manukau services, is that for the Western line, you are looking effectively in the peak services every 10 minutes, with 15 minutes in the off-peak. Southern line, you're really stepping up to, let's see here, taking into effect of the split, you're stepping up to 6 minute frequencies. So we're moving anywhere between 4,500 passengers to 7,500 passengers an hour using the six car set consist. Remembering your DFT six car sets can only hold about 650. So already you've got an increase in capacity. You've already got an increase in frequencies allowable thanks to the City Rail link. Although that said, the City Rail link allows us to step up right up to 20 trains, or actually no, right up to 12 trains per hour. Probably can go even higher, up to 20 trains per hour, but the signaling would need to be upgraded to facilitate it. Now, to go at 12 trains per hour every 5 minutes, which is what the Southern and Eastern lines could support, but that being one train goes south, one train goes east, so the frequencies are 10 minutes on that alone, but for Britomart, it would be every five. Your capacity is 4,500 passengers on the three-car set and a pretty large 9,000 passengers on the big six-car sets. The only drawback that the Southern Line faces between Westfield and Pukekohe is that we have to contend with the big DL freighters coming through. And until we get the third main, we have to watch the frequencies that otherwise we're going to run into, get stuck behind the big freighters. And with the metro ports currently stepping up from about 12 a day right up to 24, potentially over the next 10 years, and the Auckland port shuttles between the Port of Auckland and its Wiri site stepping up to 54 services a week using the old DBR consist, but hauling, I think, about 14 container wagons worth. Without the third main, the Southern and Eastern line is going to run into problems trying to get those 12 train per hour frequencies that we will need, seeming Southern Auckland, for the most part, is taking the bulk of the population and even employment centre growth outside of the city centre itself. So, looking at my alternative that I drew up, although it can be translated back into what Auckland Transport have currently proposed post-City Rail Incorporation, the pre-North Shore line. The easiest way to look at it, because I did it in A3, you will need to download it. It's a PDF, so it's only small, half a megabyte, so you can enlarge it up. Recommended screen size, go 24. Guys, doesn't quite work on tablets, and it definitely doesn't work on laptops. So looking at the model I drew up, your basic system runs your Southern Line services from Pukekohe and Papakura, run through, they get to Newmarket, instead of going to Britomart's current, this is from the City of Rareland going, they go out, it swings out west and goes all the way out to Swanson, so basically a south to west service. Your Eastern Line services would start again back from Pukekohe or Papakura. And they would follow the traditional Eastern Line route, go through Britomart, City Rail Link, and then go all the way up to Swanton. So this allows for your effective up to 12 trains per hour, six per those lines. So there's your 10-minute frequencies per line, 5 minutes if you combine the split up. Now for the shorter runners, the Manukau line using the North Link would be your short runner for the east, and that would allow from Manukau City Centre through the Eastern Line, through Britomart, through the City Rail Link, and out to Henderson. Now that would be planned to be run every 20 minutes for three trains an hour, and it would help take the pressure off the longer services, especially on the inner circuit between Newlyn, the city, and Otahu, where it currently fouls up due to more passengers boarding there and your capacity issues that we currently have. Your Onehunga line, which can be extended out to the airport in due time, goes airport up following its normal route. It goes up to Newmarket, then it splits both directions. One would go through Britomart as conventionally and form a loop around the City Rail Link, use the East Link, come back up the Grafton Newmarket and back up the Onehunga, while you also have the counter direction of Newmarket, Grafton, Mount Eden, Kay Rose, Aotea Station, Britomart, and back around to Newmarket, heading back to Onehunga. So you have a loop service and a real high frequency. You could go up to, you would ultimately start at six trains per hour, but you can ultimately go up to 12, and you would have a very high frequency loop system working between Penrose and the City Rail Link itself, capturing those inner stations to move the highest amount of passengers around quickly, potentially saving the longer services from the southwest service and the east-west services, moving those longer distance passengers. Furthermore, when the Mount Russell Spur is built, the Manukau, the Henderson service via the CRL would be shortened up. It would be Manukau to Britomart, CRL to Mount Albert. Then it would swing, instead of going to Henderson, it would swing through to the Mount Roskill Spur, forming that shuttle there. Frequencies, again, every 20 minutes, so three trains per hour. Again, if you're looking for the capacity on those trains per hour, just refer to the base capacity that I have given there just earlier, and that is also on the blog. Now, the one extra that I have thrown in there is the Manukau South Link being built, and that allows 20-minute services between Papakura and Manukau City Centre through the South Link, rather than having to go up to Pōnui, doing a bit of backtracking and coming back down Manukau's current. Of course, that line using the South Link can be extended out to Pukekohe as Drury and Pairata build up, and you have more people and more employment centres getting themselves established there. And they not remind you that Drury South is yielding 374-odd hectares of heavy industrial land, while the Wesley College special housing area is 274 hectares with a potential yield of 5,000 houses plus a local centre. So, the question you're going to ask is, how many trains are going to pass my station per hour with either my model or Auckland Transport's model once the City Rail Link is going? So if we look at the chart here, I've drawn up my lines. These can be translated back to the Auckland Transport mode. One, just remembering the trains per hour they're planning to run, 15-minute frequencies off-peak per line, 10-minute frequencies on-peak per line. So if we're looking at my one, we're looking at the south west line, so Papakura to Henderson via Newmarket, so it doesn't touch the City Rail Link. Your main stations between Papakura and Henderson and Swanson, for that matter, you're looking at five trains per hour in each direction. So if we're doing the capacity split, that's every 12 minutes, 3,750 passengers using the six-car consist, half for the three-car sets. The same effectively goes for the east-west line. The Onehunga line, the Onehunga loop moves is basically five on the loop and 10 on the sections between Newmarket and Onehunga itself. So you've got quite a bit of frequency and capacity in there, which is going to be needed. For the Manukau north to Henderson line, you're looking at three trains passing each of those stations each hour for that particular line. So three trains an hour is every 20 minutes or 2,500 passengers for a six-car set, again, half for a three-car set. It's also the same for the Manukau North Mount Roskill line, and for the Manukau South Link, it's the same as well, three trains an hour. Now, it's easier to read this if you're looking at just the pure how much trains per hour are going to go by regardless of where they're going. Most cases, you're looking at it up to 13 trains per hour, anywhere between 10 to 13 trains per hour in the core parts of the network, whether it's 3 to 5 in the outer parts, such as Pukekohe and the Mount Roskill spur link. Thus, your frequencies, if we're running at a true metro system, which is what SUS is alluding to, 10 trains per hour, 6-minute wait, 3,750 passengers for a 3-car set, 7,500 for a 6-car set. 10 trains, going right up to 13 trains per hour, you're looking about 4 and a bit minutes, 4,875 passenger capacity on the 3-car, for the 6-car, you're looking at a big total of 9,750 passengers being moved per hour. So the City Rail Link does open up great potential, not only for the old wishy-washy urban regeneration stuff, that's nice, but also just in pure, hard capacity and frequency, regardless if it's my model or the Auckland Transport model, because the train per hour mechanisms are there and you can work it back from mine to the Auckland Transport method on what the line capacity is, your train capacity is, and how many potentially people per hour you're going to move past per station. So with those figures in mind, moving anywhere between 4,500 passengers per hour right up to just short of 10,000, you can see the capacity unlocked from both the EMUs and the City Rail Link. 9,000 people travelling an hour means potentially 9,000, upwards of 9,000 cars off the road, potentially, which also means less buses are needed, as I alluded to in the earlier podcast, from the south and the west, freeing up that capacity in the city centre for the North Shore buses until the North Shore line is built. For Howick, you catch a bus from Howick to Pāmuir, and you transfer to the EMU on the eastern line, where you would have one or two options available. And again, with that capacity getting up towards 7,500 an hour using the 6-car sets at every 6 minutes for 10 trains per hour, or if we're going six trains per hour, 4,500, you're going to get a seat one way or the other. There's your capacity moving people. That means you do not need to be taking a car, unless you're a tradie or otherwise, shift work from Howick all the way into the city because of that capacity unlock. This is what the City Rail Link gives you, people. It gives you the capacity and the frequency unlock from what we get now to moving upwards of between 4,500 passengers an hour right up to just short of 10,000 for the court network. If we're doing some of the fringe stuff, you're moving 2,500 an hour, which is still quite a phenomenal amount of people. This is what we get with the City Rail Link. This is the capacity unlocked. This is the frequency unlocked. So this is why the City Rail Link should go ahead and why the government should fund it.